Achtung!
And good afternoon. This is Höllenkommandant Penis Bruch from the German elite black metal bands Sehr dunkle Wolken über dem schwarzen Schloss in dem dunklen Wald and Frostbitten Scrotum. I consider myself a big fan of your nice little podcast, Toilet of Hell. But there was one thing I wanted to complain about. You said in one of your recent episodes that the black metal album Transylvanian Hunger from the black metal band Dark Throne was not very good. It was, you said it was mediocre, but I don't think so. It's, I think it's the best black metal, elite black metal record of all times. And I just wanted to correct this. Yes, this was everything. Again, I like your podcast very much, and I love you from the deepest of my German frostbitten heart, because black metal, black metal is not like others say, Krieg. No, I think black metal is peace, love, understanding, health insurance, healthy vegan food, and drinking a beer once in a while. Or like they say in Bavaria, a Häube. Or like they also say in Bavaria, a gute Mass, you know? So, this is it. All the best from Germany and goodbye.
You're listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.
Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Oh, it's me. Oh, that's right. It's the Toilet of Hell radio show. I'm Joe Thrashenkill. With me, I've got my number one good boy, 365 Days of Horror. How's it going, man?
Well, now that I'm your number one good boy, it's pretty great. I mean, usually during these intros, it's 365 Days of Horror. And blah, 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 blah. But Brenicide's not here this week, so I'm it. By default, I am number one. Two sweetest words in the English language.
He's pushed down a peg or two because he forgot to tell us that he was he had his microphone packed up because he's moving this week. So neglected to tell us until right before recording time. Breno, you're on the shit list.
I think he should just stick his head out the window and just yell really loudly and we'll pick some of it up.
Hi, guys. Lots of things going on in this crazy mixed up world of ours. What's going on with you, buddy?
Not all that much, which I guess is a good thing, because I think too much stuff happening usually means it's bad stuff. Just the usual, really. Just dug out of about a foot of snow earlier this week, and it's actually snowing a little bit right now, but it's supposed to change to rain, so hopefully we're finally getting over this winter hump. It hasn't been too bad except for like the last 2 weeks. It just decided to snow all of a sudden, so just kind of hanging in there until we see the sun again.
It'll be there eventually. I went and saw a show last night. I saw the premier False Metal show tour ticket of 2K19. I'm talking, of course, about the Deaf Heavens and Baroness. And
nice.
Yeah, I skipped Party World Wrestling to go see this because we got these tickets real far in advance. But I'm glad that I went because Baroness is so fucking good. They
really are.
I get mad when people I do that thing that you're never supposed to do. Get mad when somebody criticizes a band you like. That's what I do when people are like, "Oh, Baroness, they suck. They're pop now." It's like, no, they're not. Fuck you.
If anything, they've never really changed. You know, much to their credit, they've always kind of sounded like this. And maybe it's not as heavy, but it's still in the same vein. It's not like they completely changed, like, say, In Flames or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, things were a little bit, I guess, more anthemic, maybe a little bit slower, more interludes. I don't know, but it's so good. The new lineup is fantastic as well. It's John Baisley and his co-guitarist. It's a lady who fucking shreds. And, you know, of course, that band is all about wailing dual guitar harmonies. And she just killed it with John. That was such a pleasure to watch, that I was almost able to ignore the cackling fucking bitches behind me that wouldn't stop talking for the entire show. Yeah,
people need to not do that. Like, you want to talk, go to the back, go outside, go somewhere else.
Yeah,
it's one thing to be like, this song's awesome, or check out this part. That's fine. It's just having a casual conversation very loudly right behind people who are enjoying the show. Don't do that.
Well, like, there was actually plenty of room, like, in this, this is a big ass venue, and these three fellas were wasted and kept, like, bumping into me because they chose to stand 2 inches behind me and were just like, yeah, man, I was talking to Leo, and Leo told me all this crazy shit the other day, and I'm going to relay all of it to you right now while there's this, like, quiet buildup of the dynamics going on. Anyway, eventually these guys shoved their way past me and tried to start a pit, and then it looked like they got pushed down to the ground.
That one's for Leo.
Yeah, exactly. And Deaf Heaven was there, and I had never seen Deaf Heaven before. Have you?
Yeah, I did. I actually saw them open for Carcass a few years ago.
Interesting.
It was an interesting mix and an interesting crowd. Because you could definitely tell who was there for Deaf Heaven and who was there for Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah.
And me, stuck in the middle.
There was a lot of, I don't know, it was a weird dynamic of quote-unquote fashion people at this show and dads. So you saw folks like wearing, you know, haute couture outfits or whatever. It's what I call it when somebody's wearing something absurd. And then, like, you know, a 45-year-old man with a goatee and a Kangol hat.
It's people who don't normally go to shows, and they right. get dressed up because they think it's a night out. Yeah, I've seen that.
And because South by Southwest is going on right now, unfortunately, you had a fair amount of dickheads wearing their lanyards into this show that was not a South by Southwest show. You had to buy the $50 ticket for this show. You couldn't flash your lanyard and let you in. You were just wearing it to show everybody that you're, I don't know, a staffer on Amy Klobuchar's campaign or something like that.
She doesn't have staffers. Come on.
You can see the bruises from staplers thrown at their head. I had seen video footage of Deaf Heaven over the years, and what struck me about this performance is that George Clark, his moves on stage were less, I don't know, martial and more sensual. There was lots of hip thrusting and, like, kind of Jim Morrison type shit going on. He never quit once during the show. The folks that I was with, they weren't really familiar with the band, and they came away like, what? Is he okay? Someone in the band should talk to him. I'm like, that's...
Yeah, he definitely caresses the microphone, that's a move, and whips his hair the entire time.
Yeah. I'm like, well, I don't think they should talk to him, because that's the moneymaker. Like, they went from being, like, broke as shit, like, almost homeless to, like, you know, getting modeling contracts and Ray-Ban deals and shit. So I think he needs to keep doing whatever he's doing, even though it's patently absurd to me to look at it.
Well, that's good that it was a good time. I actually met John Baisley from Baroness a few years ago when they played in my town. He did a pop-up shop with his artwork.
That's awesome.
And my girlfriend follows them on Instagram. They said, like, we're going to be here at, like, 3 o'clock. And it was, like, a few blocks from where I work. So I kind of just wandered over. And there were a couple people there. And I bought some of his artwork, just prints. And, you know, people were just kind of lined up to talk to him, say hi. And guys in front of me were gearheads. And were just talking about his pedals and talking about his pedals over and over. And he finally went, like, hey, thanks for coming out. And then turned to me. He, like, ended the conversation. And, like, decided to talk to someone else. And I always appreciated that.
That is a very cool move.
Because, you know, there are other people there that want to speak to him, and you know, you want to say your piece, you want to say, hey, I saw you back when, and you have a nice little conversation and you move on. So I always appreciated him stepping in and being bye.
So John Baisley, both an incredibly talented man and a sweetie, which is good to know.
Yes, very nice guy.
He busted out for this tour a and I'm a, you know, not to, to bore you with a gear talk, but he busted out the double guitar, which is a as a fellow double guitar owner, that's a pro move. When you do that, the game is over. You have effectively one-upped everybody else around you. So having a 12-string guitar playing dual harmonies, it's just like mwah. Good stuff. If you get a chance, go see them on this tour because they're great. But now
was Zeal and Order on this too?
Yeah, but they went on at 7:30, and I could not get across town during South by Southwest traffic in time to see them. I saw our friend Jonathan Wilson at the show. He said it was So there's your take on it.
I guess that's not. It was terrible.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But yeah, now that the positivity is out of the way,
get that shit out of here.
Let's
We're
start
done.
The show.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Because there's a variety of funny things that happened this week. Is there any particular one that you would like to start with?
We could start with Watain having their show canceled in Singapore and then being mad about it online.
I love it. We got to have a strong black metal dramatic reading on the show somewhere, and it seems like Watain's going to deliver to us.
It's becoming a weekly segment now for us. It's really great.
This is the only thing we've ever done on the show that people have like regularly reached out like, hey, are you gonna do a dramatic reading of this now? So
it's expected of us now. Yeah, it's our thing. We have to, you know, hold on to it tightly until it suffocates.
Yeah, I'm happy to keep delivering as long as you guys enjoy it. So what's the damn deal with Watain?
So Watain was supposed to play in Singapore a couple days ago, and the show was canceled by the Infocom Media Development Authority after a petition came out that had over like 18,000 signatures saying they didn't want Watain to play, I think due to religious reasons or concerns and culture corrupting the youth sort of thing. And this does happen in countries that aren't the United States. You know, people kind of forget that, especially in the comments section, that there's not always freedom of speech, freedom of the press, whatever you want to say. It doesn't transfer to all countries wherever some of these bands go. And in certain countries, there's a even heavier religious bent towards the government and governmental decisions. And Singapore is one of these cases. So they had their show canceled. And Watain, instead of saying, you know, sorry to the fans, we hope to come around next time, come catch us at our next show wherever, which would be the normal thing to do, they went on Facebook and social media, and it wasn't quite a rant, but they still managed to be very stupid, which is in keeping with what we know about Watain.
Yes. Yeah. In the country where you can be publicly caned for spitting on the street, you know, seems like maybe they don't abide by no pig slaughtering Satan stuff. So it's unfortunate, but expected. But Watain, they went to Facebook, the place where you go when you're a cool black metal dude, to make a statement. Should I handle this one since you guys handled the last couple?
Yeah, you're due.
In light of yesterday's events in Singapore, we would like to send a proud hail to our fans and followers from Singapore, Indonesia, Sarawak, Burma, Laos, sorry about that, Philippines, and Malaysia, who traveled to see yesterday's performance but were robbed of their experience in the last minute by Singapore's tragic excuse for a government. It was an honor to meet you all yesterday, and to sense the fire in your eyes and in your spirits. We look forward to the day when we can form you for you without the interference from lesser men. To honor the rats behind the ban, rest assured that you, in your cowardly act, have only stirred the cauldrons of your own misfortune. If these men and women don't already feel mistrust and contempt towards authorities, they sure do now. The flames of discontent have once again been kindled. May they scorch your heavens.
Shut up, Eric.
Fortunately, that was a brief one. That's tough on the old throat box. Did soil work have anything? It was also soil work was on this bill.
Soil work wasn't on the show. It was some of the reporting seemed to be kind of squished together. Soil work has a show coming up, and I think the same group has like started circulating a petition to have their show canceled as well. Soil work are inoffensive, first of all.
Completely inoffensive in every way.
And second of all, do you know what Soil Work's response to all of this was?
What was it?
Nothing. They haven't said anything yet. They haven't protested. They haven't said, we're going to scorch the heavens and blah, blah, blah. They just went, okay, I guess we'll see what happens. Maybe we'll cancel it. Maybe we won't. The shitty thing that Watain said within this is calling people honorless rats. And that's an interesting choice coming from a white band with Nazi ties towards people of color. So always on brand, Watain.
Gotta keep it Satan. So very cool. Very cool stuff from Watain, as always. Proud of those guys. I don't know. It seems like they were really taking a risk even trying to book this one in the first place.
I can appreciate wanting to play places you've either never played before, places that don't get metal all that often. And I know in Southeast Asia, Malaysia, Indonesia, like metal and death metal and black metal are like monstrously huge among the youth. I guess it's some sort of rebellious thing that a lot of them have latched onto and have been very online about. So I can understand wanting to play, but I think you also have to be smart about these things. We hear stuff happening to bands all the time about either being thrown in jail for blasphemous, you know, displays on stage or this and that. And it's just like, you know, hide the goat heads at home. You don't need to splash the crowd with pig's blood and louse. It's fine. Like, just play the set if you can. And if you can't, move on. Play somewhere else.
I suppose they could have always tried to fake it, tone down the image, and call themselves, like, Mutain or something like that.
Mustaine, Watain. what they could do is they could have a different name where they play in other countries if they really wanted.
Yeah.
Or do something like that, Watain AD, and it's just a jeans and t-shirt set, like Rob Zombie style.
Yeah. I think it's pretty fucked up when you've got, you know, religious government overreach like this, but I don't know what to do. You're an immovable object reaching a what is the other thing, an edgy black metal band, is that saying?
You live by the edge, you die by the edge, and that's what happened in this case,
and that's the way it goes, boys. There was another weird thing about another band getting canceled. This time in these United States, well, kind of at least. Earlier this week, Filter, those guys that did Hey Man, Nice Shot, and that song from the Spawn soundtrack. And I think those are all the Filter songs I know. Do you know any of those?
Well, you know the big hit, the Take a Picture.
I forgot that was, because that song is so different, you know. That's a nice beachy jam.
Yeah, a beachy jam about supposedly taking your wiener out on a plane and the stewardess getting mad about it.
Wait, really?
Really, I think that's the story behind it. I'm almost positive that you know, if you look at the lyrics, it's like I feel like a newborn. You know, if you take my picture, I won't remember. Supposedly, the story was that he exposed himself on a plane and a stewardess was obviously upset about it. But I think there were other people around him, and like there was no corroborating evidence or whatever you want to say. So that's kind of what the song's about.
I guess that line, like, "Hey, Dad, what do you think about your son now?"
It's yeah.
Just imagining like a drunken, shit-smeared, naked dude yelling that out to a bunch of dismayed passengers packed on an airplane. It's a lot of fun. anyway. Filter was supposed to play a show at something called the Speaking Rock Casino in El Paso, Texas. This was interesting to me because before I looked it up this morning, I was relatively sure that Indian casinos in Texas weren't allowed to have gaming, or Indian reservations in Texas weren't allowed to have like casinos. I did a little bit of research. It turns out that Speaking Rock has been in legal battles for years, trying to kind of rock the boat on that. So they currently have a few games set up as a fuck you to the state and federal government, which I approve of. That's their land. They can, you know, let dumbass white tourists spend all their mortgages there. That's okay with me.
It sounds like, remember from Vegas Vacation where he goes to the cheap casino and plays like war and pick a number? Like, that's kind of what I'm envisioning at this place.
Guess which hand it is?
Yeah. Heads or tails?
Yeah, I went ahead and like looked at a few reviews online. I was like, this is a casino? anyway, they were supposed to play this illustrious Texas casino. Something went wrong, Richard Patrick posted some shit on Instagram. He says, "This is soundcheck. We're playing El Paso. Get here later and it will be packed. A lot of Trump bashing. Does anyone know Beto? Bring Beto." We had like an image of one of them American flags. It's all upside down, you know? And apparently something went wrong. The band was told the venue didn't like the posts and that they were getting threatening phone calls and bomb threats from Texans who didn't like it either. Okay. The tour manager was in the green room and woke up from a pre-show nap to 30 yellow-shirted security guards and the general manager shouting expletives and telling the band that they were not welcome at the venue. "The First Amendment does not exist in this casino. Get the fuck out," they said. Which, being on an Indian reservation, I guess it doesn't. This is all very, very strange to me, because there's shows all over Texas all the time of people, you know, saying mean things about the government or, you know, turning flags upside down or lighting them on fire or whatever. And generally those go off without any bomb threats or the band getting kicked off. The detail here that really tickled me is that the venue's management team told Patrick that it was illegal to display the flag upside down because U.S. law states the flag should never be displayed with a union down except as a signal of dire distress in instances of extreme danger to life or property. So I love that they're pulling up flag code.
Never mind the fact that the good old American boy Kid Rock has worn an American flag as a poncho before.
Also disrespecting
flag putting it upside down
code
is a big no-no. Yeah, I mean, aren't you also supposed to, like, bury the flag as part of the U.S. code?
Dude, seriously, like, fuck the flag. Who gives a fucking shit? This is so lame. I
don't know. People love that cloth.
I was in Boy Scouts, which, lol at me, and that was a big thing. It's like, you can never let the flag touch the ground. Years later in college, I was at a party for, like, a 4th of July thing, and I was, like, you know, hanging up some decorations and dragging the flag along the ground. This guy got really fucking mad at me for like disrespecting the flag. I'm like, God, no, like the ghosts of the veterans aren't going to come haunt us because I dragged a piece of fabric on the ground to go hang it up.
A few years ago, I went to, there used to be in my city, every 4th of July, they had something called Liberty Fest. And it was basically in people's backyards. They would just set up stages and bands would play all day. And my band played a couple times. And there was someone who would was burning an American flag and everyone went, "Woo!" And then he burnt another one and some people went, "Woo!" And like by the third time, someone came up and started hitting him.
It wasn't.
So I guess he pushed it a little too far.
Yeah, it wasn't the disrespect. It was the laziness. Find a new shtick. I don't know, man. This thing is kind of dicey to me. Because my immediate reaction when I see something online is I'm like, this is bullshit. I'm like, this didn't happen. Do you think that, you know, some chuds in El Paso called in a bomb threat to this casino over a Facebook or an Instagram post?
I believe it. I mean, see why not. You know what I'm saying? Dumber things have happened for dumber reasons. We hear all the time about how people get arrested after calling the police because their Big Mac has onions on it.
But that's true. Just this my cynical nature. I was like, this is it sold poorly, so they were trying to gin up some controversies to get their name in the press. But it is certainly within the realm of possibility that some MAGA shithead saw that one of his favorite radio rock bands was disrespecting the troops and called in a bomb threat, which is the appropriate reaction when somebody disrespects the troops.
I mean, how many times do we see screenshots online of, I can't believe Napalm Death are Antifa now. They were never political before. They're stupid shit like that. I think people are stupid and get all riled up, and now it's even easier to cause trouble. You just have to Google the casino's name, and you could use a Google phone number or something that can't get back to you, or their burner phone or whatever, and just
slow down. I'm writing this down. So yeah, there are options if you wanted to, I don't know, just be a dick. Just I really feel for the, you know, the 40-something parents that got babysitters for the kids and went out for a night to go see Filter.
You're telling me the kids aren't going to see Filter at a shady casino in El Paso?
Beto couldn't make it to the shady Indian casino to see Filter that night because, unfortunately, he was also in Austin along with every other presidential hopeful that will never, ever be elected. This fucking town is horrible right now. Howard Schultz was here yesterday giving a panel. I was really enjoying reading Dave Weichel, like, live-tweeting it. Just, like, saying, like, we will never solve homelessness, and people are just like, boo, get off the fucking stage.
And then they all went to see ACO and Bill Nye, and everyone was happy again.
What I know, my lady told me about this yesterday when we were driving the show. Apparently, Bill Nye waited in line to ask AOC a question at her panel about something or other. And again, cynically, from anecdotal stories I've heard about Bill Nye, I just know he's trying to smash.
God bless.
He's apparently a notorious horn dog, which God bless that science man. what else have you seen going on?
Now my mind is going elsewhere and thinking of Bill Nye just wearing his white lab coat and nothing else. No, my brain is broken right now. What else happened this week? Oh, I know. There's a good one. So the Westboro Baptist Church is going to be protesting Danica Rome, who some people might remember as being the trans woman elected official in the Virginia House of Delegates and also being a guitarist in a metal band. And so the Westboro Baptist Church is going to protest her soon for some reason, I think just for existing and being a human being. So Randy Blythe,
this was kind of a surprise to me because I, in all the craziness of the last couple of years, the general unbinding of crazy people's minds, I had forgotten that the Westboro Baptist Church existed.
Yeah, there's just been a whole lot of crazy for the past few years, so they've kind of been pushed to the side. Even they're the OGs of being crazy and loud and stupid in public.
Yeah, I guess good for them for getting back in the press cycle. They've been working real hard, and it's been tough to just have some Johnny come lately, you know, shoot up a public place and just totally steal your shine.
They're the real victims here, is what you're saying.
That's exactly it. Sorry. So, go ahead.
Yeah, so Randy Blythe from Lamb of God and about five or six other bands is doing a counter protest to the Westboro Baptist Church. And he's going to be using, apparently, 100 kazoos to do this. And he posted on Instagram, "Attention, people of Richmond, calling all freaks, weirdos, misfits, and regular people of good conscience. This coming Monday, March 11th, so it'll be in the past when you hear this, so, you know, maybe something funny will happen. The buffoons of the hashtag Westboro Baptist Church are coming to our fair city of Richmond, Virginia. They will be at our state capitol at 9 a.m., then over at VCU at 9:45, spreading their bizarre brand of hate mongering. Why? They are protesting my friend, a fairly elected member of the Virginia House of Delegates, Danica Rome. Danica is an award-winning journalist, a heavy metal musician, and all-around hashtag ripper, who happens to be a trans woman. These, quote, Christians are always picketing military funerals, Kansas City Chief football games, the funerals of people killed by natural disasters. Their insane activities are too many to list. They even picketed at the funerals of hashtag Fred Rogers and tried to find the funeral of hashtag Leonard Nimoy, but they failed. Ha. Who protests the funerals of those two greatest of American misters, Mr. Rogers and Mr. Spock? They picketed Dio's funeral. Oh, hell no. And these people are coming to my town? They have left me no choice. In the name of all that is good and just in the world, in the name of punk rock and heavy metal, in the name of hashtag Mr. Rogers and hashtag Mr. Spock, in the name of my beloved friend, hashtag Dave Brocky, RIP, I command you to join me for a counter party. Not a counter protest, because that would entail arguing with these idiots, which is useless, but a counter party. I'll be bringing 100 kazoos. We will have a hashtag kazoo, hashtag champagne jam. We will play the Benny Hill and Sanford and Sons theme songs. We will drown them out with cheap buzzing plastic noisemakers. I will also be bringing a brand new $100 bill as a cash prize for best costume worn to the hashtag counter party. 100 kazoos and a $100 prize. It's almost too good to be true. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Put on your corpse paint, your rainbow wig, your inflatable sumo wrestler costume. Fly your freak flag high. Let's party."
Did you ever see the episode of King of the Hill where Hank loses his job because Megalomart starts selling propane? So to protest, he and a couple of buddies buy kazoos from the Megalomart to try to drown out a Chuck Mangione performance.
No, I haven't seen that.
Oh, what happens is there's a propane leak and the Megalomart fucking explodes. just thinking, it would be a delightful little twist of fantasy and real life coming together if, I don't know, like a grenade landed among Fred Phelps followers.
It's funny, his mention of Dave Brocky made me like really miss Squar, even though I know they still exist. You know, I don't think they have as much of a punch as they used to with the new lineup. I would love to see them also protest this, come out, play music, and just be their usual irreverent selves.
I've seen Gwar twice without Brocky, and it's not the same, but it is still very good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I don't doubt that. It's just, you know, Odorous Arungus was Odorous Arungus, the larger than life for the larger than life band, and it just it doesn't feel the same.
Also, didn't Beefcake leave just the other day?
Did he? I didn't even hear about that.
Yeah, I think he'd been with the band for, I don't know, like a decade now. He headed out just the other day. It's tough. It's tough to keep a band of scum dogs together. But hopefully they can find an adequate replacement, hopefully with giant balls hanging off him somehow.
Well, Beefcake the Mighty never dies. He just changes form.
Exactly. I don't know. Westboro, still together. Crazy. Isn't their whole thing like they just sue people when they get assaulted in public?
I think so. It's only this like one family, isn't it? Pretty much.
Yeah, and I think they're pretty like upfront that they're grifters. Like they're all lawyers. Just what a strange thing to dedicate your life to being just the worst fucking troll. I mean, it's given how many trolls there are, I guess it's only natural that people are like, well, I can only get a boner when I piss a whole lot of people off, so I guess I'll just do that for the rest of my life. You know, do what you love and you never work a day.
I think it's somewhat of a self-fulfilling identity. like maybe you have some of these beliefs and then you go all the way into it and you're in it for so long that becomes your identity and it kind of becomes all of your beliefs. You start believing your own bullshit eventually.
I guess so. I don't know. Like you wake up every morning like today I'm going to make grieving family cry even harder. It's a strange thing.
I don't know. I can't explain it because it's not me.
Yeah, it's not okay. Well, we got cancellations, we got protests, we got angry reactions to both. Kind of a theme this week, I guess. But something else happened that was pretty left field, I would say, in terms of things that could possibly happen. I am talking about Varg Vikern's Wacky Racers.
This was such a random story, and it came out of nowhere, and it felt like no one was like, what? What the hell's going on? It was just like very matter-of-fact reporting.
Nobody has taken the time to really process what these words mean.
Words have no meaning anymore. We've established that.
You're right. Pontypool was a documentary. punknews.org reported this, and I guess I'll just read their words directly, and then we can take it from there. User, I apologize for any madness that these words may cause to ferment in your mind.
Do not translate this message.
Okay, here we go. I'm just going to quote punknews.org directly. As you may know, Varg Vikernes is the musician behind Burzum and has also expressed problematic and racist viewpoints over the decades. True. These are true facts. Mm-hmm. I can agree with that. Last year, for some reason, a man called Nathan in Vikernes got into an argument over the internet over whether vehicles developed in capitalist or socialist countries were better. Vikernes drives a 1988 Jeep built in Eastern Europe. So Nathan challenged Vikernes to a Jeep race. If Nathan won, Vikernes was required to give him Vikernes' only copy of Burzum, the band's debut album. That particular copy was given to Vikernes by Euronymous of Mayhem. Vikernes murdered Euronymous in 1993. If Vikernes won, Nathan was required to admit that Vikernes was right on Vikernes' YouTube page. Well, they raced by seeing which vehicle could get to 60 miles per hour quicker. Vikernes lost, getting up to 60 miles per hour in 16 seconds. Vikernes then gave Nathan his only copy of the CD. After the loss, Vikernes stated, "Of course I didn't think I was going to win. It's just that I wanted to make a point. You see, I'm getting pretty fed up with the greed everywhere. Everything is always about people trying to make profits. Profits to this, profits to that. The more the merrier, there's no end to it. Cure the rot of greed in your brain by doing things not for profit, but for the benefit of others. If you want to change the world, you have to start with yourself." Nathan then sold the CD on Discogs for $1,500. Do we want to break this one down?
There's a lot to unpack here. The biggest thing that I took away from this is Varg going, "Oh, I knew I was gonna lose. I knew I was gonna lose." Like, what a chump thing to do after you lost. Just be like, "Oh yeah, I knew I was gonna lose. It's okay. Now let's talk about something completely unrelated."
It's baffling in every which way. So from what I can gather here is this Nathan fellow just decided to argue with Varg on his YouTube comments, I guess. Like, "I bet my car's faster than yours." And Varg like, "No, it's not." "Yes, it is. I'll fucking prove it." Also, what's really confusing about this is that on the argument of whether a vehicle developed in a capitalist or a socialist country is better, that Vikernes sided with the socialist country. Would have figured...
Yeah, I thought that was weird too.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in Cold War era vehicles, Soviet rides that I couldn't pronounce the name of in Cuba. And I will say that they are durable to an extreme, but I wouldn't say that they're particularly impressive in any other way. So that seemed like a sucker bet right off the bat.
Maybe that was the point of this. Like, he has a socialist car and he wants to lose. Maybe that's his point.
Maybe. It's a little odd to me that in losing this stupid contest, that he decided to go full on like Mahatma Gandhi to be the change you want to see in the world, I guess.
All we are saying is give peace a chance, Mark Vikernes, 2019.
So maybe this is the newer, softer side of Varg. He's getting up in years now, and he's trying to change his ways, perhaps. Maybe he's still full of shit.
He's not saying kill the Jews. He's just saying he wants them separated from him at all times.
Yeah.
He's getting better.
It's separate, but equal.
I do wish this guy that beat him and sold the album for a chunk of change then went ahead and like donated it to the National Holocaust Museum or something like that, just as an added twist of the knife to Varg. But I guess do whatever you want with the money.
Well, that would have been a cool move, but at the same time, I got to figure that anybody that spends his time arguing with Varg on his YouTube channel is probably just a piece of shit, too.
Yeah, I mean, conceivably, he could have just jumped in at random, because, you know, it would have been funny, but I suppose you're right.
I have so many questions about this contest itself, where they came together. Did Varg have his trad wife, like, standing on the starting line with her, like, scarf?
A bandana, and she drops it, like grease or something like that.
Yeah, Varg has spikes on his hubcaps trying to sabotage Nathan as they're racing down the culvert in Los Angeles.
Dead man's curve. I'm upset that there's no video of this, is there, of the race itself?
There doesn't appear to be, and I need them. I need this so bad.
You know, I have a feeling that they probably did record it, but because he lost, it's just never going to be uploaded. Because he's a very online, very much into filming himself, why wouldn't this be filmed as well?
Dude, I fucked up. There is video.
No.
Yeah, there's video of Varg. He's wearing his Castro hat and a camouflage tacticilt.
Of course.
He's showing off his Jeep that just has the worst goddamn polka dot camouflage custom paint job I've ever seen. And it shows him just, you know, manipulating all of the many levers and gears trying to make this thing get up to speed.
Rube Goldberg of cars.
It's pretty bad. Apparently they didn't race together, though. It was a separate thing. So that's disappointing.
I just want footage of him bouncing around in his car like Ace Ventura style. Just moving all around, shaking all around, trying to get it up to 60 miles an hour.
You're seeing him bumping quite a bit. It's if you guys have ever spent have you ever taken any kind of ride in one of these old ass vehicles with seven different shifters, you know exactly what to expect. It sucks.
I'm just reminded of, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but Conan O'Brien, when he went to Cuba, he took a taxi and the door kept opening like while they're in it flying down the highway.
Yeah, that's I spent like an 8-hour trip with it was 10 tourists total in this old ass safari vehicle, and the entire way I had to hold the back door closed. Just breathing in all that sweet, sweet exhaust and having to like hunch my neck down because the vehicle itself was way too short for the height of people in it. Old cars suck,
sounds
man.
Fun.
So, God, I love the story. I love that it exists, and I love that this guy just immediately went and flipped this to some other horrible nerd.
It's good that we now have a way to rip off Varg. You just have to challenge him online to something very stupid, and you could conceivably make a lot of money off of him somehow.
Yeah, he is essentially death in Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
You can, best 3 out of 5, best 7 out of 10.
You're damn right.
Well, now let's challenge him to a game of Twister or Battleship or something.
I agree. Dungeons and Dragons, perhaps. He might
see. That's too easy, I think, for him. You got to challenge him to physical stuff. I've seen him do karate kicks. I'm not worried.
That's true. Dance Dance Revolution battle.
Oh, that would be amazing.
This is our.
You're doing your thing, and just his side is bad, bad, bad. God damn it!
This is an open invitation. We're calling you out, Count Drishnak. The Toilet Boys challenge you 1-on-1. No holds barred, DDR battle. Let's do this. Winner has to denounce their offensive views.
Dance, dance, Bolshevik Revolution.
Love it. Love it. Listeners, if you have some challenges for Varg Vikernes, let us know in the comments, and then we will spend the next 6 months harassing him on YouTube trying to get him to accept. I think that'll be a good time for everybody.
If he loses, he has to be circumcised.
By force.
New album cover.
Oh, gross.
Oh, how about Neckbeard Death Camp should get in on this, and it could be their new song, Forced Circumcision to Varg Vikernes. I'd listen to that.
There you go. Neckbeard Boys, we got some more content for you. I think you should absolutely take that up. So... is that Korean animation team still around where they do dicey 3D animations of funny U.S. news stories? Because the Wacky Racers is one that I would love to see.
No, I haven't seen those in a long time. Maybe they don't exist anymore. Or they just don't get covered because real life is far weirder.
That's true. You know, there were lots of circa 2008 funny internet memes that are just lost forever. Like dust in the wind. No more will we auto-tune the news.
The news will auto-tune us.
Ah, it's exactly as Orwell said.
As predicted.
Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? And the Jay Leno here is very intentional because I'm taking it back old school. This is very 90s humor, but have you heard that Michael Jackson might be a pedophile?
Get out of here. That's not the Michael Jackson we know.
I feel like I've had this conversation over and over this week. Netflix, I think it was Netflix, they put out a different true crime series every week, and everyone around me is obsessed with it, and I don't want to watch any of these, but I end up getting involved in conversations about it. They put out a documentary about the kids that accused Michael Jackson of abusing them way back in the 90s. And apparently people are like, oh, I think you might have been a pedophile, to which I say, no fucking shit. We established this a long time ago.
Yeah, this was established in the 90s.
Norm MacDonald got fired from SNL for making several hilarious jokes where the punchline was, Michael Jackson is a homosexual pedophile.
It's weird how things like this, or like R. Kelly even, where some big expose happens, news, movie, whatever, and people are like shocked. This is old news for years, for decades in some cases. And there are still lots of people who will defend them or will just flat out choose to ignore all these facts and news and information to it. And I never quite understand it.
It is so horrifically disappointing. I remember that when the R. Kelly documentary thing came out, like everybody was talking about it. And then like a day later, this fella on Twitter that, you know, was posting about it, like posted some of his top favorite like R&B jams and went ahead and put like Remix to Ignition on there. It's like, dude, what the fuck? Can you not follow the thread for 1 second? It's
I don't know.
I'm disappointed when I see people like with years and years of all of this, these claims and evidence behind the Michael Jackson thing are like, you know, I think those kids were just in it for the money. I think they were just looking for 15 minutes of fame. It's like, no, I don't think that literal children chose to be sexually abused by an adult. Not just like any adult, like an adult with more money than God and more power in the industry and more lawyers than like anybody knows what to deal with. That's a thing that they thought was a cool idea. It seems like you got to follow Occam's razor in this scenario. It's like, well, you have dozens of repeated claims that follow the same thread. It's established like by his own testimony that he was sleeping in the same bed as children and watching porn with them and giving them alcohol. Do you think that maybe something untoward happened there?
Well, as the joke skit from Chappelle Show years ago, he made Thriller. Thriller. And I think that is, you know, I know it's a joke, but I think that's how some people work. They can't possibly do this because I love a thing that they made.
I guess so. It sucks, man. You know, I don't want to be like Michael Jackson was never that good because clearly he defined like a decade of pop, him and Quincy Jones, but that's, you know, a separate deal altogether. If you want to give the credit to the producer, which I do. So, yeah, the biggest musical phenomenon for, you know, many, many years, beloved by millions upon millions. I see so many people with like RIP MJ stickers on their cars still to this day. Just like, your man's was a pedophile.
And we see this stuff on a smaller scale, even within our own realm of music. I mean, how many Warped Tour bands have had creeps in them hitting on underage girls and doing all sorts of things?
Hey, what's up, Casualties?
Everyone's brand new.
Oh, fuck them too. Yeah. That seemed to like go by without like too much discussion. Like that guy from Brand New, all of his songs were like about mistreating girls. And it's like, oh, he was actually going, he was a predator and habitually abusing girls. Huh?
Well, it's like Louis C.K. It's just like they're not actually great artists. They're actually just confessing the whole time. And we think they're joking. We think they're being, you know, respectful. I don't know. It's not a joke. This is who they are, and it takes about 10 years to figure that out.
So, I think I thought we put this one to bed, but apparently not. I just wanted to go out there on the record. It's real fucked up to try to victim blame children for the abuse that was wrought on them by an adult. Don't think anybody was looking for a payday or 15 minutes of fame. Please never do that in my presence or I will jump up your asshole. I'm subtweeting people that I see online.
That's how to live life. Just casually subtweet people, especially if they follow you and can see it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so I don't know. Looking forward to next week when, I was going to make a joke and I realized that this already happened like last summer. It's like, we're going to realize that OJ actually did it. We went through that. what else from the 90s can we bring back? You know, I think that Timothy McVeigh might've been guilty.
The jury's still out on that. I'm not sure. I'm just asking questions.
Who? What other crime can we bring back from the 90s? I feel like the Menendez brothers were pretty fascinating.
I was just going to say them.
Because you got shitty rich children murdering their shitty rich parents to get money so they can pursue, like, acting and professional tennis. There is no better, like, scummy storyline. That's tailor-made for right now.
Well, hasn't there been a resurgence with Lorena Bobbitt? Like, wasn't there a documentary about her on Netflix too recently or something like that?
I saw a story go around. It went pretty viral. It's like, what you're getting wrong about the Lorena Bobbitt case. And it kind of relitigated things that I kind of already knew and I thought that we accepted as like the standard narrative, which was that John Wayne Bobbitt was a horrifically abusive man who was like hitting his wife and like raping her and like, in like an act of desperate revenge, she cut his dick off. That case itself actually put marital rape laws on the books. Like that was kind of a tied in the conversation where people were reconsidering what spousal abuse can entail. In my opinion, Lorena Bobbitt did nothing wrong. And John Wayne Bobbitt, here's a little factoid for folks. He got his dick reattached and did a couple of terrible pornos afterwards.
Wasn't Lemmy in one of them?
Seriously?
I'm almost positive. Hold on. We're gonna look this up because I seem to recall like VH1 or something like this mentioning that there's a scene in one of his movies. It might not be John Wayne Bobbitt, but it's like the John Wayne Bobbitt story where like a dick gets thrown out a window and it's really a dildo and it like lands at Lemmy's feet and he's like in the bushes hiding somewhere. Hold on.
I want to say that that's like a bit in Romeo and Juliet, but I could be wrong.
You might be right.
I found it. Okay, so here we go. Lemmy has a cameo in Ron Jeremy's 1994 pornographic film John Wayne Bobbitt Uncut as the discoverer of Bobbitt's severed penis. The appendage is thrown from the window of a moving car and lands at Lemmy's feet, who explains, "Looks like a dick, fucking hell! Ah, well, at least it's not mine." The film soundtrack also includes the Motorhead song Under the Knife. So yeah, much
not Orgasmatron. Wouldn't that have made sense?
It would have, but much like in the, it's that late night humor of the 90s where you would take you know, something very serious and horrific like spousal rape, and you just make the woman a punchline for years and years and years. And it's very cool to see that Ron Jeremy, who has a glowing track record of being a total fucking scumbag, went ahead and made this jokey little porno about this.
It was a different time. Rush Limbaugh had a TV show, so if that explains anything.
Yeah, thankfully we don't have anything like that anymore. Just going to turn over to Fox and see what the Klan Hour has going for me.
The caravan's still coming, right?
Fuck, Rush Limbaugh got to announce Monday Night Football for a short while, too. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and Dennis Miller.
Oh, Christ. The 90s really were worse than we remember.
But there were some good tunes and the economy was doing okay.
In my mind, everything was like that Steal My Sunshine video. But in reality, it was Rush Limbaugh calling football and, you know, making jokes about spousal rape.
Credit where credit's due. The band is called Len.
Sorry. Apparently they were a brother and sister act. I thought that they were like...
They were.
Yeah, judging from that video, I thought that they were much closer.
Well, it's like the Property Brothers on HGTV.
Oh, they fucking...
if they weren't related, they'd be married.
They fucking for sure. There's a cottage industry of those guys getting down. I lost the plot on this episode. I forgot what we were doing.
Well, it's a good thing we're almost an hour in, so it works out.
Yeah. If you have questions or concerns about this show...
or us and our well-being.
Things haven't been going so well.
I'm so tired, Jeff. I'm so tired.
I gotta record an episode right after this. Folks, you can look forward to an extended show with Austin band Expander. We're gonna expand our dongs with those fellas. I think in 2017 they put out Endless Computer. That put the year Endless on a number of writers. Very cool band. They also have a record label, so we're going to talk about Expander, and we're talking about some of the cool bands that they have on their label. We're going to talk about tech shit and dressing up funny for silly promo shots, and that's going to be a good show. And it will feature 100% less severed dick talk. You have the Joe guarantee on that one.
I'm going to try to slip something in now.
Please do. If you like the show, tell a friend, share it with somebody, subscribe to our Patreon where you can get more bonus shows, subscribe on iTunes, do all of those nice things for us because we like that. You can also send us an email at toiletofhell@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle again?
At 365 Days of Horror.
And I am at Joe Thrash and Kill, and this has been another episode from us to you because we love you.
Bye.
Listening to 66.6 FM, Radio TOVH, The Flush.